Can I ask about what you said on the telly?
Yes.
Did you mean it?
Every word.
You really think that blowing up Parliament's going to make this country a better place?
There's no certainty, only opportunity.
I think you can be pretty certain that if anyone does show up, Creedy will black bag every one of them.
People should not be afraid of their governments. Governments should be afraid of their people.
And you're going to make that happen by blowing up a building?
The building is a symbol, as is the act of destroying it. Symbols are given power by people. Alone, a symbol is meaningless, but with enough people, blowing up a building can change the world.
We're the School of Rock.
I'm the Rocketeer.
The Rock of who?
Well, it's called Tron.
It's called the Third Man.
It's called the Kiss of the Dragon.
Kiss my ass!
He was known as the Glimmer Man.
Looking for the army of the 12 monkeys.
We got a Black Hawk down, we got a Black Hawk down.
He say you brave runner.
Tell him I'm eating.
These drug cartels represent a clear and present danger.
And this year's Miss Congeniality.
I'd like to take his face off.
Authority is not given to you to deny the return of the king.
Today, we celebrate our Independence Day.
This is pitiful. 1,000 people freezing their butts off waiting to worship a rat. What a hype. Not like they used to mean something in this town. They used to pull the hog out and they used to eat it.
Welcome to the layer cake, sir.
Welcome to Jurassic Park.
Just like you on this island, Dr. Moore.
I hear this, Goldfinger.
Codename? Thunderball.
Why do they call you Dirty Harry?
The Bible calls this day Armageddon.
You are now listening to your cinema.
Welcome to episode. That sound means it's the beginning of episode 96 of Cinema Crespediso. I am your host, Chris Crespo. Just hanging out on a wonderful, wonderful weekend, wonderful Sunday. It's been great.
I don't know how wonderful it is. Can I get the Crespediso? Can I get the Crespediso weather report for this Sunday?
Weather report. It is a gloomy day, but don't worry about it because it's going to clear up eventually, one of these days.
All right, thank you.
That's Schuster Cogburn and Jurassic Owen.
What up, Chris?
Look at that thing. Get your own applause. Mr. Antihero 419 on the Twitter and the Instagram
on
and the Snapchat and the LO.
The
taking over the social media world. The many tentacled arm beast that is.
Antihero 419.
Antihero 419. Oh, man, I should have had this. See, that's when I should have had this queued up.
Yes.
That's definitely the sound of the oncoming monster of Antihero 419.
It sounds like a Law & Order episode.
It's like a Law & Order. It's like the sound of a Law & Order episode, but with the visuals of an Akira.
Ooh.
But with
I like that.
With the smells of an Italian kitchen.
Okay.
An Italian kitchen.
Yes.
Why
Italian? I'm not Italian.
No, you're not. But you know how to cook it.
That I do.
That you do. You got a special. You can cook his ass off.
I've done Italian food for maybe 6 out of the 15 years I've been cooking.
I never knew this. Never said anything about that.
Yeah. Really good at Italian.
Who wants Italian food at 5 a.m.?
I do.
All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have a special guest. That is the one and only Nick Sharaba. Nick, how's it going, dude?
It's going good. How are you guys?
Holla. You're doing good, man.
It's the podcast debut.
It's the podcast debut of Nick Sharaba, right? Mm-hmm. Have you been on the other podcast as a guest? As an official introduced guest down? No, see? What the fuck?
Popping his podcast, Jerry.
The behind the scenes. SBK Live. Now, if you listen to SBK Live, I'm sure a bunch of you do. Check him out, sbklive.fm. You'll hear in the background someone being like, Hey,
Nick Sharaba!
All the way back there, right? It's like, who's that in the background? That's Nick Sharaba. He's talking.
That's
he's letting people know what's up. People are asking questions. Kevin references you all the time.
Yes, he does in bad ways.
It's because
he does it out of love. It's tough love.
It's because we all know. Everyone knows that the beating heart of everything, the whole movement, is Nick Sharaba.
Thank you.
Which is why you're here. We want to bring it out. We want people to know. We want people to appreciate.
Bring you out of the shadows.
What we know.
Oh well, thanks, guys. I appreciate that because. I don't want to be out of the shadows.
Well, then, thanks for coming on. That makes it even cooler
yeah.
that you're here, dude. Really appreciate it. Well, this is episode 96. We got a lot to talk about, and it's somewhat a limited amount of time. I bet you we can squeeze it all in, though.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty
good
about this.
2.5 hours.
Roughly.
Ish.
What? Closer to 2 hours. Anyway, here we go.
Easy.
We're gonna squeeze this all in. This is going to be great. But we start. We got the box office recap and the reviews and the new movies and all the questions and the movie news and all this shit, right? The lightning round. Drew Sikogran versus the world. Drew is 10-6. He is on a losing streak. Are you ready, Drew?
Yes.
I hope so. Because it is getting nasty for you, sir.
Yeah, it is.
That's the second half of the show. But before we do any of that, we will start with the Netflix Instant Pick of the Week, which always means now we start with the new theme song. Here we go.
Do I reach in the bag and grab a piece of paper?
Pour the
yes.
end of tea.
And then you hand it to me.
It's time for the Netflix Pick of the Week. The Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
Boom.
The Crest Producer Randomizer 9000 spits out another one with help of Nick Sharaba. Thank you, sir. We appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I feel honored.
Drew Sikogran always has a double check to make sure it is still on there because, man, like we just said a couple weeks ago, we pulled the TV show Too Cute.
Too Cute.
Out of it, though. All about puppies good. And kittens. And
oh,
then,
see, that's a winner.
And we talked about it, and it wasn't on there, but we got an okay. So, Nick, please let the world know what is this week's Netflix Instant Pick of the Week.
This week's Netflix Pick of the Week is The Karate Kid.
Oh, shit.
Danielson.
The original, too. None of that remake bullshit.
Not part three.
None of those strange
not
sequels.
Not the next Karate Kid.
Now, you know what?
No, the Karate Chick.
Karate Kid, Party Kid. I said the Karate Kid.
The Karate Kid.
The Karate Kid Part 2. I put part in Karate
Kid. Karate
together.
Kid, Part 2.
The Karate Kid.
Part 2.
He's a dude who mixes up Pilates with karate. Okay, get this. The Karate Kid, he's a wimp, right? And he has a single mom, raising him. And she's a Pilates teacher. And
okay.
she's like, I'm going to teach you Pilates. He's like, I don't need Pilates. I'm getting beat up at school. I need to know karate. And she's like, I don't know karate.
Karate?
She's like, I don't know karate either. She's like, I don't know karate. Right? And follow me here. And
then, I'm following.
And then she gets some books on karate, and she gets her own instructor maybe. She's like, I'm not.
She turns Pilates into karate.
She adds her Pilates to the karate. Comes
the
up
Pilates
with karate.
Kid.
Trains the kid, the Karate Kid, puts him into a karate tournament. He gets about halfway, loses, but everyone's so impressed by Pilates that she opens up her own chain of Pilates, like for women. Chains
sounds
that her
awful.
Son is the face
for
of.
For women.
It sounds awful. Yep.
Made popular.
Son's the face. Yes.
The son's the face.
Yes.
And then the son and goes kills himself.
There you go.
Fight like a 17-year-old boy.
I think the Karate Kid is a winner.
I think it's a loser.
I think that might also be the show.
It's going to be called the Karate Boy.
The Karate Boy. Karate Boys? We are the Karate Boys.
Ugh.
That just sounds horrible.
Yeah, it does.
The Karate worse. Kid from 1982?
No, 4, right?
84.
Come on.
Early 80s.
Early 80s, I know that.
Drew,
I'm looking.
Drew, look for us. Directed by John G. Alvinson, the same fellow who 84. Directed 84. Good job, Nick. Same guy who directed Rocky.
Really?
If you watch Rocky and Karate Kid back to back, you'll see a lot of parallels in the style and in the story. It's actually pretty funny watching those. That's an interesting double feature, Rocky and Karate Kid.
I was going to say that is a pretty interesting double feature.
And it's all tied together by a director, and it's like, holy shit, it's the same fucking movie, man.
Interesting.
It's almost the same movie. Ralph Macchio never ages.
What is he doing now?
I saw him in an episode of How I Met Your Mother, like maybe 5 years ago.
There you go.
5 years ago.
Yeah, something like that.
Still look the same. I've seen him pop up every now and then on TV shows. He must be like producing, maybe behind the scenes stuff. Because he's not much on camera.
I'll find
anymore.
Out what he's doing.
A lot of those guys are all...
sounds like what I do.
They do that... Right. They all... A lot of them transitions. Like Emilio Estevez. What happened to Emilio Estevez? Now he produces and directs a lot of stuff. He's directed TV episodes and a handful of movies.
Is he?
You know? Yeah. He's working. He's working his ass off.
What about his brother, Martin? What's he doing?
You mean his dad?
No. Oh, Charlie.
Charlie. Well, Charlie's on...
that's right.
That show is still on Anger Management?
Yeah, Management.
Yeah, I think that show still happening.
What about his dad, Martin? What are they doing?
I think Martin is like semi-retired now.
Didn't he do that movie The Way or something?
He's been doing TV.
He did The Way. Yes. Is it just The Way or The Way Back? It's The Way. That was like 2 years ago. It's on Netflix now. That's in the Crest Producer Randomizer if it ever gets picked. I hope it does one day.
Fansome Randy.
One of these days.
It's the Randomizer 9000.
It's
we have had it for about 2 years now.
Oh, have you? It looks brand new.
It does. Barely handled.
I couldn't tell.
Barely so fingered.
Apparently, Ralph Macchio has been doing Robot Chicken.
Oh, really?
And How I Met Your Mother. And Psych.
Psych.
Like a TV show. Like appearing as?
Yeah.
Ralph Macchio?
Probably, right? In a handful of instances.
What do you got?
He's a cultural meme of sorts, right? It's Ralph Macchio. It's his face. Look at him. But he's great in the, he's great in this movie. He's like perfect casting for The Karate Kid.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a fun movie. It's cool. Pat Morita puts on the accent. There's a little bit of that for the for the Japanese guy, the Japanese janitor, and it's awesome.
The Japanese janitor,
but it's solely nice because it's Arnold from Happy Days. But then he's like Daniel-san. So go wax on or wax off. The honorable
paint the fence.
The honorable paint the fencer.
He's like, yeah, I love how he turned random chores into martial arts training.
Yes. It just so happened to coincide with him needing to redesign his entire backyard.
Yes.
It's like, it was a combination of a martial arts movie and like yard crashers.
Yeah. Home Improvement.
Yeah. Yeah. I want Pat Morita. Okay. TV show pitch. Here we go. It's an old Japanese janitor mechanic guy. No, he's a maintenance. He was the maintenance man for the building, for the apartment.
Yes.
The condo, whatever. He goes around to he'll like get people, like how they go to Home Depot and they find someone like, take me to your house to redesign your backyard. He'll go to Home Depot. He can
teach you how to do karate. While yeah. He's yes.
I'll take teach you karate and we'll redo backyard at the same
while
time.
While we do your backyard, you'll learn karate after 2 days.
At the end of the show, you're going to fight somebody in your backyard.
Yes.
Everything's going to be beautiful. You'll fend off these bad guys.
That's it. We're going to send ninjas to your backyard.
That sounds like an awesome show.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good show.
So what are we going to call it?
What's the name of that show? It's like, it's Karate Crashers?
That sounds a little weird.
Because it's Yard Crashers, House Crashers. That's what all those shows are called. Yard Karateers?
No.
Mm.
No, see, that's...
No, we gotta
It's just got to come naturally. You can't just ponder it. It's got to just happen.
Yeah.
But we got the idea. We'll start working on that. Someone write that down. We'll start working. So
noted.
Karate Kid, though, it's got that, my favorite scene is the whole Halloween dance part where first he shows up. He's like, I don't want to be seen. So he come up with the shower curtain costume.
That's right.
Right? And then he's in the bathroom. He's trying to go to the bathroom. And then he finds out that Johnny is in one of the stalls. And so he puts the hose in there to make him wet. And the whole time, Johnny's listening to music. And he's sitting on the crapper with the stall clothes, and he's rolling a joint.
Yep.
And he's like, all right, yeah. All right. He's rolling a joint. And then he wets him. And then you're thinking the whole time, like when I was a kid, I was like, oh, shit, he wet Johnny. That must piss him off. Now as an adult, I see him. I was like, oh, shit.
He ruined his weed.
That was the guy's weed. That's for all of them.
Yeah. No wonder he got so pissed out.
Yeah, no wonder they beat him up so bad. And that's when they chase him down, beat him up. And then
whooped his ass, too.
They fucked with his stash.
And then Pat Morita showed up, kicked her ass. And he's like, okay, I'll teach you how to paint a fence.
I told Pat, man, he got my weed wet. Yep. And he'd have been like, oh, well, keep beating his ass.
Yeah, he would be like,
Danielson. Movie over.
Daniel never told him about that. Danielson, you didn't tell me that he...
You ruined his joint?
You wet their kush? This is the early 80s. You know how hard it is to get that stuff?
That sounds weird. You wet your kush?
You don't want to get the kush wet. That's actually bad, the wetness. Karate Kid, great stuff. Good choice. Good job, Nick.
Always is. Thank you.
All right. So you're my best. Let's get into that that box office recap. Drew, what do you say? What do you know?
We're going to start off number 11 this week, Chris.
Oh, number 11.
Number 11, Birdman, had a weekend gross of $2.3
million. All
right. Total of just over 8 on a budget of 18.
$8 million on 18. How many theaters is it in so far?
It's in 462. It doubled it in theaters this week.
So they added 200-something theaters?
230.
And right now in town here in Orlando, it's only playing at one theater.
The Enzion
Theater. All
right, yeah, I saw you guys went to that.
Yeah, we did. It was awesome.
Was it
packed or was?
Oh yeah, sold out.
Okay.
The screening was 6:30. We got there at 6, and we had to sit like in the side towards the back. We were lucky to find a seat that saw like a sight line with the screen,
because
that shit was packed half an hour before the movie even started. Damn. And then I heard a waiter tell someone was like, "When's my food coming out?" Some old lady was like, "When's my food coming?" And the waitress was like, "Oh, it's a sold out show, so we're trying to get everything done as quickly as possible. Sorry about the delay, blah blah blah." So definitely, and I knew that was going to happen. That happens at the Enzion all the time. The place only holds, what do you say, Drew? 200, 250?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Right?
And they got a tiny little galley kitchen in there.
Oh, man, those guys probably busting their ass. Yeah. There was $15 burgers, man. Those are some
expensive. Really? No, they've got good food for real.
No, they do.
And
good drinks outside on the
port. Yeah.
And that stuff, it all seems quite expensive, but it's all just going to pay for the people working there because if you check it's a non-profit.
Yeah.
So they have to put their finances out there. You can see them on their website, and they're barely breaking even every year. It's amazing how they're. That's been operating all this time. Just no one's making
amazing
money.
Numbers too.
It is true. You know, so someone. Good. I mean, who's driving around in a Mercedes out there? The
always nice cars there. I see that.
Yeah,
I
know,
right? All those membership guys. great theater though. We were able to see Birdman, packed theater. Drew, why don't you get us started talking about that Birdman, the Birdman?
It was a crazy movie. Mm. It was,
Before the movie started, you were like, I wonder how crazy this movie's really going to be.
Yeah. And I mean, because the trailers were nuts and the movie was pretty crazy. I mean, it's Michael Keaton having a mental and emotional breakdown for 2 hours.
Yeah. While he's putting on a stage play.
While he's putting on a stage play and there's all sorts of silliness going on. It seems he seems to go like in and out of this little fantasy world of his. Where, you know, he thinks he can control these things and has the voice of Birdman in his head telling him to do stuff.
Yeah, antagonizing him.
Yeah.
Talk about antagonist. It's in his head the whole time. He's his own worst enemy in this movie.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. He's got problems.
Yes, he does. Edward Norton is a crazy actor.
Yep. Edward.
And not just a crazy actor, but a crazy actor.
And yeah, he comes on like... Under the guise of like super collaboration, he's like, I'm trying to help, you know, and he does have skill, but he's also like overbearing and like takes over a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
You know, and I felt like he gets a tanning bed sent to the theater so he felt like his character had to be a redneck, he had to be tan. He's a very confrontational actor, and I feel like that's kind of Edward Norton doing a take on his. How he's perceived as an actor because he has a reputation of being a very tough guy to work with. When you hire him as an actor, he'll like try to take over, and he has taken over certain sets and pushed out directors and editors and stuff.
No.
And it's a
really
yeah. So it's interesting that then he would show up in a movie playing that type of character.
Well, it seems that almost everybody is. I mean, Michael Keaton is he's almost playing himself in the movie. He's a quote unquote older, washed up ex. Superhero actor, and not just any ex-superhero. He was like the first.
Yeah.
The one who made it all possible.
It was Birdman.
Yeah.
But the kids don't know who he is.
No.
The parents know who he is.
Exactly. Yeah. And that's just how it is. That's how Michael Keaton is perceived today, pretty much.
He was the first Batman.
He was the first Batman. I mean, everybody knows Christian Bale and George Clooney and Val Kilmer, but not many people remember the original. Jack Nicholson as the Joker. I mean, come on.
What was the last year that Keaton did Batman?
92.
Yeah, he would be Batman 1 and 2.
Yeah. Batman Returns was in 92. So it was over 20 years since he did Batman.
Yeah.
And in the movie, he's like, it's been 20 years since he did Birdman. He did Birdman 1 through 3.
Yeah.
You know, he's like, that's why I said no to Birdman 4. And then a Japanese reporter's like, oh, Birdman 4.
Birdman 4.
You do Birdman 4. Again, what the not very subtle portrayal of Asians in Hollywood product. Interesting how that happens.
Yeah.
This is by a Spanish guy, too. What's his name? Alejandro González Iñárritu. The guy who directed this movie. This is his first comedy. Before this, it's been all intense, crazy dramas.
Anything
like
I know.
Babel. Did you ever see that one?
I've heard of it. Never saw it.
21 Grams.
Yeah.
Amores Perros was his first one.
Serious.
Yeah. Very serious movies, very heady stuff. But those movies are also, except for Babel, were made like a co-writer. Then they had a falling out and they've gone on to make their own movies. This is his first comedy. And it's a dark comedy,
it's
for sure.
It's still very heavy and very heady and as well.
Yeah, and it still gets crazy and weird and, you know, a little, obviously very meta at times with the subject matter and stuff. But then still there's jokes about, like, pig sperm and balls and boners. A boner
lots
happens.
Lots of balls and boners.
Ed Norton has a boner at one point because his character's like, I felt like I needed a boner or something. Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm going to use that.
I feel like I needed a boner.
Felt like I needed one.
In a theater full of people, you know, if you can do it, right?
Excuse me.
It's a wild movie. And then it has this whole thing where it has the perception of, like, the camera's always moving and there aren't really any edits, per se.
It almost feels like one long take.
Yeah. Yeah, most of the movie is like just the camera just keeps going one long take, keeps going in a hallway, and then it's like it's the next night or it's the next day, and... if you know what to look for, you can see where they did the digital edits, where they stop and start each scene per se. But it's pretty fascinating to watch. It's a really cool effect that makes the movie go by really quickly. It's like a 2-hour movie, but I think it went by really. I was like pretty sucked into it, and I think the whole, you know, one camera constantly moving thing definitely helped it. It was interesting.
I can't wait to see it.
I have to recommend it for sure.
Yeah, totally.
It's going to expand. It's at the Enzion now, but I saw posters for it outside the Winter Park Regal. So it's definitely going to get a wider release at like more theaters. So if you don't want to like deal with the crowds and shit at the Enzion.
There's a possibility that I might make it to a theater to see this movie.
Yeah. There you go. There you go. Let's check in with the Rotten Tomatoes. They say on the Rotten Tomatoes, 94% positive out of 149 reviews. Goddamn. Average rating of 8.5 out of 10.
Yeah. Sounds about right.
Yeah. Yep. Their consensus, a thrilling leap forward for director Alejandro González Iñárritu. Birdman is an ambitious technical showcase powered by a layered story and outstanding performances from Michael Keaton and Edward Norton, for sure.
Oh.
Okay. Also, Naomi Watts is really good, and what's her name, Emma Stone?
Emma Stone, yeah.
She's good, too.
Everybody's good in that movie.
Wasn't there someone else in that movie that popped up? I can't remember.
I'm pretty sure.
All right, so that was number one.
Zach Galifianakis was in that.
Zach Galifianakis. Keep forgetting about him. He was good. He's good.
He's not even necessarily funny.
Yeah, he's not doing a funny thing. He's just playing the role, playing the character.
He's just playing a guy.
And he's good. He's got talent. The guy's good.
I don't know. They've been shoving Zach down everybody's throat lately. So.
Yeah. No, but this felt more like not really.
No, then you said he's not being funny in it, so I want to see.
It's not doing his Galifianakis thing.
No.
You know, he's playing the.
He's playing a guy.
He's playing the friend who is the. He's in the Churaba.
And a producer.
He's the producer slash lawyer slash manager slash friend of Birdman slash the real guy.
Just not nice of his beard.
Actually, he has nice coif. That's the same. He had a pretty similar beard. Yeah, looking good. Yeah, I gotta say. So that number 11, let's get to number 5.
Top 5 this week, starting off with number 5, St. Vincent. Made an additional $5.7 million, total of $27 on a budget of unlisted.
Good for them. St. Vincent is good. The Bill Murray movie with Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that.
And Naomi Watts. It's good. That one's more of a like DVD, Redbox, you know. Don't gotta rush down to the theater to see it, but still,
I wasn't gonna.
Oh, I'm just saying.
I was just gonna.
There's some people out there who want definitely something DVD quality. Yeah, that you don't want to deal with the cams, the shaky.
No, I don't.
The people walking in front of the screen. That's weird shit, man. That's whack.
If I'm gonna watch that, then it's not worth watching.
Then why are you even bothering? When did we talk about St. Vincent? Was that 2 weeks ago?
It was 2 weeks ago.
2 weeks ago. So check out episode.
Oh, maybe. Yeah,
94 or something like
that. Maybe even more.
Also, go to ChrisCrespo.com for my review of St. Vincent.
Coming in number 4 this week, Ouija made an additional $6 million, total of 43 on a budget of 5.
Ouija. Oof. Man, movie's making some decent money for being awfully reviewed. But yeah. Hey, it's a horror movie. It's a PG-13 horror movie.
Kids want to see it.
A lot of chicks. I think the younger teen girls are checking it out.
Yeah.
Because it's got a lady-heavy cast. So, yeah.
Number 3 this week, Gone Girl, made an additional $6 million for a total of $145 on a budget of $61.
Goddamn Gone Girl.
Wow.
Making that money.
Dude, it's a great movie.
Why are we making a podcast? Let's make a movie.
Well,
gotta have that money.
Cost money. How much did Gone Girl cost to make?
First, we have to make a cheap, crappy horror movie to bring in the PG-13 crowd.
So how much was Blair Witch?
So we can take that $5 million.
A few hundred thousand? So
we can take that $5 million and turn it into 43 real quick.
Let's go.
And then we take that 43 and we make a movie like The Book of Life. Animated.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We'll spend that and, shoot, we're not going to make our money back. Never mind.
No. It's tough. It's
and then we make a flop.
We make the Equalizer. We take that 43.
Easy. We'll just make an Equalizer.
We get another 10, very and we simple. Make the Equalizer.
The Expandables 15.
We turn that 55. And we turn that 55 into 98.
98. We made 40 million.
And then we have that $98 million. We go and we make.
See, now you're stuck. Ed. What's a 90
million? We make
your
Gremlins movie for $100 million.
For $100 million,
oof. Your Gremlins movie. Can you do it for $100 million?
Wait, a pared down version. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. we can do the third act as its own movie.
All right.
Just we gotta get the World War II stuff in there. That's also the most expensive act.
Hopefully, we can make that and turn that into like $200 million, and then that $200 million we can make ourselves. You know, the next Avengers movie, and then we're in the billions, and we cash out.
And then we can get. Then we
cash out.
At the top.
So that's how we do it.
That's the progression.
Yeah.
Crespedista Studios. That's the business plan.
Yeah, right there.
If you'd like to donate to the show, email us at cinemacrespedista.
All we need is $5 million to start.
$5 million startup? No, we need $5 million to start. Well, $5 million. Yeah, we need $5 million. We need $5 million to start. So there we go. What were we talking about? Ouija?
Gone Girl.
Gone Girl. Gone Great Girl. Movie. We did a spoiler episode on that one, didn't
yeah.
we?
Yeah.
Check out our spoiler episode on Gone Girl.
Coming in number two this week. Christopher Nolan's Interstellar.
Interstellar.
At a weekend gross of $50 million, a total of 52, budget of 165.
Did they report exactly Ooh. 50 million?
Yeah, 50
on the nose?
Yeah, 50 on the nose.
That's an estimate, because it's a Sunday, so they only give us estimates. Tomorrow afternoon, they'll release the actual numbers from this weekend. I bet you Interstellar ends up making like 49 point something million dollars. They estimate it up. They're like, oh, because... Tomorrow morning, the news, they're going to report the first numbers that they see. Those are the estimates. Interstellar made $50 million. Sounds a lot better than Interstellar made $49 million. Oh, $49.8 million.
Ooh. Those lying sons of bitches.
Yeah, they do it all the time.
That's the game, man. That's the game. It's a bunch of bullshit.
But give it to me straight.
If you know what to look for, you know, that's how it goes. But Interstellar, $50 million. Very solid opening for a almost 3-hour sci-fi...
Epic.
Yeah,
epic.
2 hours and
in November.
Minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's long. It's long.
It's awesome. It's an awesome 2 hours, 49 minutes.
Yeah, I felt like it went pretty quickly. The first 30, 40, the setup,
was
all
there
the.
An intermission?
No.
It would have been fun if there was, like in 2001 style. Yeah. Been fun. they don't do intermissions anymore, man. They used to do them all the time. Not anymore. Even for shorter movies, they did intermissions. It was cool with Interstellar. Is like the first 30, 40 minutes, all the Earthbound stuff is kind of, it's a little slow, but it's interesting because it's how, it's the building of everything, all the emotional stuff.
Yeah.
That once they get into outer space, it's like, whoa, it gets crazy for the next 2 hours. And it's fun, it's interesting, it's different, it gets weird.
There are lots of dimensions and time travel and relativity
yeah.
and gravity.
Time and the relative nature of time. And the way gravity works on everything throughout the universe relative to each other.
Crazy.
Is like, those are plot points.
It's intense. It's a lot more than I knew.
It's intense. It's more than just we're going outer space.
It's 2001 with heart.
It's 2001 with all the science, but with the heart of like an ET or Close Encounters.
Yeah, it really is.
So there you go.
Yeah. Right. It's a nice mix.
It's a wild movie. We saw it in the IMAX too at the Point Orlando.
Oh, right.
The sound was so loud that like when the rocket took off, it rumbled. Our seats were shaking.
Your shits were shaking.
My shits.
Well, inside of me because my seat was shaking.
Yes, my shits inside of me were shaking from the seat shaking under my booty, for sure.
For sure.
For shits. It's a great movie. It's really cool. Is it his best? I don't know. It's gonna take.
I don't
a
know
while.
If it's his best.
I mean, Inception's really good. You know, Dark Knight.
I'm a
Prestige.
Really big fan of Inception.
Inception.
Oh, it's the same guy that did that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Christopher Nolan.
Christopher Nolan.
I don't know.
This guy, the guy who did the
Inception,
Dark,
the all
Dark Knight
the Batman
trilogy,
movies.
And Memento. Did you ever see that one?
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah.
I like Memento, and I liked, what was you just said the other one?
Damn. The Batman's. Mm. Prestige.
Yeah, Prestige.
Prestige, yeah.
The Prestige
is good. That's
good.
Yeah. Christopher Nolan's good. This is his biggest movie. You know what's funny? 160 something million
$165 million.
The studio, Paramount, damn. And Warner Brothers, they were co-financing it together because of a weird deal that they had. They offered $200 million. They say, we'll give you up to $200 million to make this movie because we're behind you. And he's like, I don't need that much. I'll take, I need $165.
Interesting.
$165.
He's obviously no Chris Crespo.
No. I'll take that $200
million. No,
we'll pocket that $45 extra.
No, because what I'd be like, it's like, we'll give you $200. I find a way to work that deal. It's like, we're, I'm working for scale wages. The movie on a shoestring budget, and then I somehow like sign away all my rights to all ancillary. I'm terrible at contractual negotiations. Shouldn't trust me with those things. Not good.
No, don't let you sign anything.
You'll be the anti-Star Wars.
I need a.
You'll sign away the rights to all the toys and everything. You'll keep the money, and then the movie will bomb, but the toys will go off forever.
There you go.
You know?
Yeah. Like, no. Successful toys. My bad. My B. I should have not signed away my Interstellar toy rights.
Yeah.
Not many Interstellar toys.
No.
That'd be a weird.
That would be. What are you going to play with a black hole?
Tiny black hole. tiny wormhole. Little gray blocks
that are
robots.
These are all things kids shouldn't play with.
Yeah, exactly.
Mom, why did I get a black hole with my fries? That represents your future. Yeah. If that's your diet.
Just play with your wormhole, okay?
Yeah. Just don't stick your finger in it, though. Who knows what's going to happen?
Don't know where it's going to pop out.
It's a fun movie. Great movie, right, Drew?
Oh, it's fantastic. I mean, it's...
Go see it in theaters, people.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's even the biggest screen you possibly can.
Yes.
Because that space stuff is crazy.
Yeah, it's gorgeous. It is gorgeous looking.
Nuts.
Yeah.
It reminded me a lot of Gravity.
Right.
Just all those space shots.
Yeah. But with,
and the spinning.
But whereas with Gravity, it was like the science of it wasn't so on point.
This was a little more on point.
Well, yeah.
But I guess that's maybe only because, I mean, half the stuff is, you know, it's theoretical physics. They really don't know what happens inside of a black hole.
That's true. Yeah, they
really don't know if wormholes do. I mean, theoretically, they exist, but do they?
They had to make some shit up. But it was interesting what they made up.
Yeah.
Black holes are crazy, man.
So are wormholes.
Black holes and wormholes are crazy.
Coming in number one this week.
wait. I forgot about the Rotten Tomatoes. What are people saying?
What are they talking about? What are they saying on the Interstellars?
What's the consensus? The
Interstellar interwebs.
On Interstellar, 74% positive out of 223 reviews, 7.1 out of 10. I'd go a little higher than that.
Yeah, I give it at least an 8.
Interstellar represents more of the thrilling, thought-provoking, and visually resplendent filmmaking moviegoers I've come to expect from writer director Christopher Nolan, even if its intellectual reach somewhat exceeds its grasp.
Did you just say intellectual rape?
It's intellectual rape. Some people might consider it intellectual rape.
Yeah.
They might. There's a part in the movie that Kevin's going to love about the moon landings.
Yeah, he really will enjoy that part.
The true nature of the moon landings.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a throwaway detail in there, but
it's funny.
It's pretty funny. Now, Drew and I, we recorded a bonus episode where we just spent like 40-something minutes talking about Interstellar, all the details, all the spoilers, and all that shit. So if you've seen the movie already, or if you don't care about spoilers, go ahead and check that out. Download that episode, give it a listen, and we hope you enjoy that one.
Do you break down the good parts of the movie to go to the bathroom? Because 2 hours and 40 minutes is a long time.
I did not include those in there. I try not to drink too many fluids before going to a movie myself. Well, I emptied the bladder beforehand.
Well, you're a professional.
There.
Exactly.
Oh, I've been.
Professional movie watcher.
I've been there, yes. I've been there. Like, oh boy, should not have had that Jumbo Coke. Should not have had those four beers before I came into the theater.
Yep.
I've been there, man. Ooh, I've been there.
Coming at number one this week, Big Hero 6. Had a weekend gross of $56.2 million.
Want to see this?
Sims total, budget of $165, so this cost as much as Interstellar.
God damn.
Oh, well, is this that big white thing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, it's Disney Animation. They just did Wreck-It Ralph and Frozen. Okay. Both those movies made a ton of money.
And now this Big Hero 6 looks like it's about to do the same.
What was the open weekend again?
56.2.
56, not bad. Pretty good. Definitely pretty good. 91% on the Rotten Tomatoes out of 118 reviews. 7.3 out of 10 is the average rating. They write, agreeably entertaining and brilliantly animated Big Hero 6 is a briskly paced, action-packed, and often touching. Oh, there's no A in there. It's briskly paced, action-packed, and often touching. That sounds pleasant enough.
It sounds like an action movie for the family.
Sounds okay. Sounds okay. I want to see it. It looks good. But, I mean, with Birdman and Interstellar same weekend, come on.
I didn't have time.
Come on. New movies come out on DVD this week.
How to Drain Your Dragon.
How to Drain Your Dragon.
Is that a rated X movie?
I never even saw the first one.
NC-17, actually.
NC-17, okay.
It's a spoof. Let's Be Cops comes out. I did not like it very much.
I definitely wish I would have waited to see it on DVD. Like, this would have been that kind of movie I would have been looking forward to on HBO, you know?
Yeah, instead of seeing it in a theater.
Yeah.
The week after, like, the Ferguson shit was going down. Mm-hmm. Tammy comes out on DVD.
Really don't care about that.
Melissa McCarthy movie.
Yeah, it was all right.
And Jersey Boys comes out, the Clint Eastwood-directed movie adaptation of the hit Broadway musical about the Four Seasons. So there you go. Not very good.
Nope.
Not many good options.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like anything's good coming out.
On DVD. What's coming out in theaters, Drew?
Oh, coming out in theaters this week. We've got that Jon Stewart movie.
Sweet. Rosewater.
Jon Stewart.
Jon Stewart directed it, and did he write it too?
Yeah, he wrote it. It adapted from a book. He wrote the screenplay. Remember, Nick, when a little while back, I think it was during the summer, Jon Stewart took a break from doing The Daily Show, and John Oliver was hosting for a while?
Okay.
You remember that?
That's how John Oliver got his HBO show.
That's how he pretty much got that HBO show.
That show's great.
That show was great. And apparently the season finale is this weekend. Season finale?
Yeah.
So they have seasons. So it's not going straight through like these other shows.
Last Week Tonight?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
I know, right?
Bummer.
I know.
It's awesome.
Like, come on, guys. We need more of this stuff. This is good stuff.
I want it every week.
Good shit.
The
hell is that?
There's a Bantha fight next door.
Yeah.
That's what it sounded like.
Constant Jedi rumblings. It's... Don't worry about it.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't. It's just a bunch of ridiculousness over there. What the hell were we talking? Oh, Rosewater, John Stewart. He took a break from that so he could write and direct this movie. It's his first movie directing, and it's about a dude who was a journalist, went over to, I think, Egypt, right? Iran. Went over to Iran, one of those places, during an uprising. There's crazy shit going on. He took out his camera and recorded some stuff, and then he got arrested as a spy under suspicion of being a spy. And they detained him, and it's the book that I wrote about his experience of all that shit, and it's all the craziness of that.
I think I saw something about it on the show.
Probably. Most likely. What else is coming out, Drew?
Also, we've got the new Tommy Lee Jones movie, The Homesman.
For all those who love a nice, laconic Western in which people cross big sandy plains slowly and wordlessly, The Homesman seems like your type of movie.
Yeah.
Yep. What is this?
It's a Western directed by Tom Lee Jones that he's in. I think it's like he's helping transport three or four ladies, younger women, across the Wild West to like whatever their destination is because he feels obliged.
Is this supposed to be funny?
No, definitely
not.
Oh, no.
This is a drama?
Yes.
Western. Drama Western. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Also coming out this week, we've got... I've seen a couple previews for this Beyond the Lights movie with that chick from
Right. Yeah, I've seen a couple trailers for that. It's a movie about a girl who's she's on the verge of being a pop star
and falls in love with some dude.
She falls in love with some dude and she has to decide between like that pop star life and the trappings of all that and being a
real love,
being a good honest girl or something like that. I don't know.
This doesn't
look like the movie made for
us. Sounds like
crap. Yeah,
not made for
us. There's this tiny little movie by these two guys named Bobby and Peter Farrelly. Mm. It's got Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. I think it's called Dumb and Dumber 2.
Dumb and Dumber 2. Yes. Sequel 20.
Coming out this weekend.
Almost 20 years in the making.
Which I think is awesome. You know what else is great? That Newsroom starts this weekend.
Mm.
So I get to watch Jeff Daniels
being
this
smart.
This week being smart, and then reading Alan Sorkin lines. And then next week I get to watch him be really stupid, spitting out Farrelly Brother lines. It's like two complete opposites.
I mean, the Dumb and Dumber is great. It still holds up.
I mean, they've been adding more scenes to the previews. And I think watching Jim Carrey eat that hot dog covered in mustard is one of the funniest things I've seen in a really long time.
Yeah, he does eat that pretty funny. This is the type of movie where you got to see it. We got to go like on our Friday nights.
Yeah,
we want a packed theater.
Get a couple beers in us beforehand.
Oh, but then we got to find the pee break spot. I gotta hold it. It's a comedy.
It's less than 2 hours.
It's short. I can do it.
Yeah, you can do it. I have faith in you. Don't break the seal before you get there.
Breaking a seal is dangerous. That's when your body's expelling all the necessary sodium and water needed to... anyway, let's see your number.
And then the last movie, we may or may not be getting it this week. We don't know if it's going to be a limited release
or what. I hope we get it.
But Foxcatcher.
Foxcatcher,
with
yes.
With Steve Carell, yes. Channing Tatum, and Mark Ruffalo.
This looks wild. This
movie looks like an insane movie.
I don't even know what this is.
It's based on a true story about a dude who like financed a wrestling team so he could like get him trained to make it to the Olympics. And this guy's got issues. He's played by Steve Carell with a fake nose, the crazy teeth. And they played at like a bunch of festivals, like the Cannes Film Festival, and TIFF, and New York Film Festival, and all shit. And it got great reviews at all of them. And he got great reviews. And so did Channing Tatum and Mark Ruffalo, because they're both in it as well.
Channing Tatum.
And Mark Ruffalo.
Who's Mark Ruffalo?
The Hulk. From the last Avengers?
Right.
From the Avengers?
Yeah. He's also been in a whole lot of weird movies.
Yeah. He's when you need a scruffy guy with curly hair.
He's the guy you pick.
That's disheveledly handsome. You get Mark Ruffalo.
Oh.
That's on all his call sheets.
Noted.
All his audition roles. It's all the same thing. So I see here. This is what you're looking for. Why Mark Ruffalo? Oh, perfect. You're hired. That's how that works. Yeah, so Foxcatcher. Hope you see it. I really want to see it next weekend. for sure. All right, let's take a quick break here. I got one song for the Crespo Disco. I pulled it from the Interstellar soundtrack, so you guys can hear how weird it is. It's Hans Zimmer. It's a song called Dust. Because a lot of movies, it's all dusty. It's the dustiest space movie I've ever seen. What'd you say? Drew?
Huh.
All right, so here we go. We're taking a break. We'll be back with the second half of episode 96 of Cinema Crespo.
SBK Live.
Want to go with? If we want to go with states, last is Montana.
Oh,
Montana, Wyoming, Idaho.
Yeah, there's not enough people.
Oh, no, I hate those guys.
But we have downloads there. Vermont, North Dakota, New Hampshire, Delaware. We're not as big in the Northeast. Not really. Ohio's big for us. Huh. Well, that about wraps that up. I'm trying to figure out.
So if you're in Montana, fuck you.
What? Damn. I didn't know what was going there.
SBKLiveRadio.com.
What's up? It's your boy Stone the Terrible.
It's your boy, the Black David Hasselhoff from Forget That Yo Radio. You are now listening to Cinema Crespo Diso,
the number one show for movie reviews. Now back to the show.
Welcome to the Crespo Show.
All right, time to start the second half of episode 96 of Cinema Crespo. So the second half of the show sponsored by BART. What is the BART? We'll let you know in a second. I'm your host, Christopher Crespo, hanging out with Joseph Cockburn, Drew.
What up?
And Nick Sharaba. Nick.
Hello.
How's it going, guys?
Oh, when did Nick Sharaba turn British?
Hello.
Hello.
It's for a shout out to our UK listeners.
Yeah, that
was we actually have plenty of them.
We have a bunch of UK listeners, also some in France.
Anybody in Montana?
Fuck Montana.
I don't think so. Maybe one guy checked out one show one time.
Hey, you in Montana. Get to it.
Fuck
get
you.
Get some other motherfuckers.
There's just no one there.
Yeah, great. Well, sorry for you.
It's very inhospitable land, which is what why Teddy Roosevelt felt so compelled to conquer it.
Get out of Montana.
Which he did while riding a moose. He's insane.
Was it the Big Sky State?
Something like that.
Yeah. Big Sky Country.
That's what they got. Fucking sky.
Giant sky. That's all they got. That's their entertainment. Giant sky and massive amounts of heroin. Huge heroin problems over there.
Sweet.
In that part of the country. So like we said, second hour of the show is brought to you by BART. Nick.
1205 North Mills Ave. BART Bar Arcade.
There you
classic
go.
Classic games and all craft beer.
All craft beers. They got a whole bunch of them there.
Over 100 different craft beers. All delicious.
What OBP products got over there?
I have OBP, OBP squared, and toasted coconut.
See, now that's what I'm talking about.
I love that TCP.
Now, our show has been sponsored in the past by OBP.
That it has.
Tom's a great guy.
A great guy, and he knows. He brings over 12 beers. Show gets a sponsorship.
Here you go, guys.
Oh, episode, commercials, and everything. You got it, buddy.
I need to start a show so he can bring me beer.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
He needs to start the show and then invite us on as guests.
Yes.
Yeah,
so we can just drink beer all week.
About that.
So we can drink his beer.
I'm trying to get him to do a beer show.
Okay. He should.
We'll make that happen. The guy's busy. He's a busy guy.
He is a busy guy.
He's a busy guy. So BART, they got the arcade games.
He's got old school games, you know,
like what?
Donkey Kong, Galaga, Pac-Man, those kind of old
Street Fighter.
Fields,
Street Fighter up in that bitch.
I know they
Street
got
Fighter 2.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade
game. Arcade game
and
Turtles in Time.
Turtles in Time.
Hell yeah!
I am a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles the arcade game kind of man.
I'm a Turtles in Time dude.
He's a Turtles in Time kind of guy.
It's all about Turtles in
Time.
So we could go. That's what I'm saying. So we could go to BART. And we can each have our own Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles experience.
I actually Absolutely. Have the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles arcade game on the Xbox.
Yes, we played it once, beat it once, never played it again.
Correct.
That's kind of how those go.
It's
a lot of button mashing.
Where's the Simpsons game at, bro? That's the one.
Yeah, see.
That's the holy grail of arcade games, if you ask me.
Because they've got team-ups. You can do if you got two characters, you put them together, they do special moves.
Yes, they do. Yes, you can swing them around and stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
I'll have to ask the owner and see what we can do.
Get on the owner, man. Get that in there. Any specials, any special nights that people need to know about?
Tuesday is Terrapin Tuesday. That's $2 off all Terrapins, and there's always Daydream Pizza out
there. I'm drinking a Terrapin right now. Hopsecutioner Terrapin. Sponsor the show. Come on.
Yeah. Seriously.
No, we actually soon going to have some special products from Terrapin because we just got Kegerator.
Oh, nice.
And they're doing a couple limited releases, and they said that we're going to be one of the special people that receive their small batch brew.
No nice. Shit.
I can't wait.
That's awesome.
I'm looking forward to that.
One of the ones in Orlando. One of the only people in Orlando to have it.
That's awesome.
Sunday nights, we do Walking Dead at 9 p.m. Turn off all the games. Turn on the sound.
There you go.
Gets dead silent in there. Walking Dead.
That's cool.
Silent.
And a lot of people have been showing up for it because they've done, what, 3 or 4 episodes so far for this new season?
Yeah. Like you got to get there early because I'd say get there around 8:30, get yourself a good seat.
Well.
By 9 o'clock, it's standing room.
Inside knowledge from the one and only Nick Sharaba. So, BART, again, what's the address in that place?
1205 North Mills Ave. That's right between Hawkers and Yummy Sandwiches.
It's Orlando, right?
Yeah. Right there, Lake Highland and Mills.
There you go, guys. There you go. Thank you very much, BART, for sponsoring the second half of episode 96. Good times.
Pleasure.
Good times. Let's see, where are we starting? What did the show notes say? That's why we have the notes. Because I am on my second obsecutioner.
Plugs.
So things are getting fuzzy. Well, we plugged the BART. ChrisCrespo.com for reviews. Past episodes of Cinema Crespo. So you go to iTunes, Stitcher Radio. Please rate us and review us. Talk about the top of the show, Anti Hero 419.
All over Instagram and Twitter. Any social media.
How many followers got you on that Twitter?
I don't know, like 100.
Got only like 100 followers on that Twitter, Nick. When we started the show, we only had like 20.
That was crazy.
And then we got over 100.
Good job.
I didn't do anything. Dr. Chris.
He doesn't even do anything.
Why don't you do anything, dude?
Because I don't like Twitter.
But now you got a voice of 100 people.
Yeah.
Following you.
Uh-huh.
You can say things and they'll read it.
Maybe.
Possibly.
If it hits their feed. If they're even following
you. Did you see the trailer for Selma? Come on, man. What if one person stood up? Dude. That trailer for Selma
was
sick.
Was pretty crazy.
Tangent. There's a trailer. Just saw for the first time in front of Interstellar. Maybe because it was on a giant screen, that helps too.
Probably.
But it's a on the marches in Selma that were on, that turned into riots, and the people getting beat down. Not even riots. They're just people getting beat down by the cops. And it was all on TV throughout the country and around the world. Martin Luther King organized all that shit. It's a movie about that. And David Oyelowo is Martin Luther King. And it looks good. It's a really good trailer.
It's crazy.
It's a really good fucking trailer. And then it's the timing of it too, where it's all like, you know, here's all this violence by the government, local governments, you know, the police department and shit. Here's violence perpetrated on the people. It's being captured by television cameras and being broadcast, and it's changing the way people see that kind of shit.
It's happening all over again.
And it just happened with Ferguson and all that stuff. It feels so horribly relevant.
Inappropriate.
So check out the Selma trailer. It's really cool. Nick, where can people find you online? You got anything you want to plug personally?
SBKLive.fm.
SBKLive.fm. There you go. Man's all business. I like it.
I am Nick Shiraba.
I'm Chris Crespo. Oh, you're on Twitter. You're Nick. On Twitter, he is I am Nick Shiraba. And on Twitter, I am Chris Crespo.
Yes.
Drew should change this to I am just Chicago.
I am just Chicago.
You should. But, you know.
But I can't.
You can't. You're into your 419 all across the board.
Yeah, have been for a while.
Why would you mess up a good thing?
It's taken me a decade to fucking make that happen.
Imagine if that one guy didn't take Anti-Hero 420.
It would have changed everything.
It would have changed the whole world.
That's all you wanted was Anti-Hero.
That's all I wanted. Like, I was in, like, I think I was in high school when it started.
And it was like, hey, Anti-Hero, you got a minute? Hey, that guy. Who's that guy? Right?
That's me.
That's him. That's this guy over here. That's this guy. This guy. All right. So those are the plugs. Are those all the plugs, Drew?
I think so.
You think so? Count on your
fort,
buddy.
Follow Billy D at I Love Blood.
Hey, good job.
Oh, yeah, I Love Blood. Billy D. Speak of Mr. Billy D. It is time for the... Sorry, burger stats. I got to keep the burger stats off to the side. It is time for the Billy D's Death at the Movies.
I got to keep my eye on it.
Billy D's Death of the Movies. Billy D is our New York City show correspondent, horror film expert, so on and so forth. So you know what this is all. You know what these are, Drew, right here?
What are those?
Future paper airplanes.
Okay. Yes. Great. Just what I want.
Billy D's Death of the Movies. He writes in this week. He gives us a new segment we've been doing now for about a month. I think it's been going well, getting good feedback, so let's keep it up. He writes, hey guys, it's been a busy week up here, and I've really only been able to watch HBO's Sonic Highways. If you aren't watching this show, you are missing out on a rare opportunity to watch one of the hardest working and most creative people in the music business, Dave Grohl, journey across America with the Foo Fighters to record their new album. Whew, it's a long sentence. The premise is simple. Be the Foo Fighters. Go to a different city studio every week. Write a song. This show gives an unprecedented look into the recording and creative processes, along with an in-depth look at each studio's respective history and music scene. This show puts Dave Grohl in line with such art historians as Martin Scorsese as preservationist, collector, documentarian, and fan. Seriously, Dave Grohl is the spirit of rock and slash or roll. Catch it on HBO or HBO Go. Stay cool, homies. Billy D.
I have to start watching that. I meant to, but I never got into it.
I've been meaning to watch it. I mean, there are a few episodes in now, right? You know what show he's talking about, Nick? Sonic Highways?
Nope.
It's, Rockumentary type of deal series on HBO. the Foo Fighters went from city to city for different shows, and then at each city they wrote a song specific for that city, and then played it that night.
Dave Grohl
with the Foo Fighters. And all of that culminated, I know, with a week-long stint at The Late Show with David Letterman, where they played... They were the musical guests. Musical guests! They were the musical guests for David Letterman all five nights. And went over like gangbusters, apparently. Everyone loved it. It was super cool. It was also to promote the show, Sonic Highways. And, I mean, it sounds really cool. I want to see it. I like Foo Fighters. You know, they've made agreeable rock and roll for the last... 15 years or so, 20 years.
Yeah, right.
Their first album is the one, you know, I like the best. And that's the one
Dave Grohl.
It's just Dave Grohl.
He recorded everything by himself.
And he almost went back and re-recorded that with the band. But fortunately, he did not. And it's still just this. When he first recorded it and he put it out as Foo Fighters, like on vinyl, only did like 500 copies of it. There was no information on there. Yep. No, who wrote it. No way to contact the people. But still, like, it got in the hands of someone who found a way to track it down back to him, and they're like, "We are putting you on the fucking road, Dave Grohl.
Need a band.
Put together a band now. This is a band." 20 years later, Foo Fighters, American rock institution, whether you like them or not.
Yeah.
And hey, it's better than a Stained.
Oh God.
Or a Static X. That guy just died.
Yeah, he did.
Wayne.
Poor
X.
Wayne Static.
Wayne Static. Wayne X.
Oh.
Oh shit.
Juice Cogburn versus the world. Or this time, Juice Cogburn versus you, Nick.
Nick, that's what happened.
You are the world.
Nick, hey. That sound means it's time for Juice Cogburn versus the world. You are sitting in for the world. We do a little bit of movie trivia every week. Yeah. So far for the year 2014, Drew is 10-6. At one point, he was 10-3.
I lost the last three.
At one point, he was 9-2.
Let's do this.
Come on, Drew. Come on.
We'll see what happens, man. We'll see.
What do we do all those sparring rounds for? Don't make me
look stupid. Well, you are. It's kind of hard.
Hey, we can come up with some house improvement projects to help you.
Paint the fence. It'll make you better at movie trivia.
Some yard work / Pilates of some sort.
Some karates.
This game is called Balls and Sticks.
Okay.
I'm going to tell you the movie. You tell me the sport featured in that movie. So, for example, if I said Rocky, you would say?
Boxing.
All right. So, here we go. Since the world won last week, winners out. Nick, you get to choose. I have two groups of five, group A and group B. Which one would you like? Pick your poison. A or B.
B.
Picks B. Okay, here we go. We'll do all five. So, I'm going to tell you the movie. You tell me the sport. You ready?
Sure.
Number one, The Natural.
Baseball.
Correct. Number two, Little Giants.
Football.
Correct. Number three, Tin Cup.
Golf.
Correct. Number four, Sudden Death.
Football.
Incorrect. It's hockey. And number five, Juana Man.
Basketball.
That is correct. So you got 4 out of 5.
Oh, man. Sudden, I need a perfect score.
You need a perfect score. Sudden Death is the Jean-Claude Van Damme movie where it's Die Hard during a hockey game. And at one point, he has to play hockey. He actually ends up as the goalie
really?
At one point.
And I forgot about that.
I think he makes a save. All right, Drew, here we go. Five movies, five sports. You ready?
All right.
Number one, Necessary Roughness.
Oh, man. Necessary. Football?
Correct. Number two, Ladybugs.
Soccer.
Correct. Number three, Kingpin.
Bowling.
Correct. Number four, The Great White Hype.
Basketball.
Incorrect. Oh, boxing. Yeah. And number son five, For Love of the Game.
Ooh, Love of the Game. Baseball?
That is correct. You tied.
I can't believe I said fucking. I can't believe that.
We said basketball for Great White Hype.
I can't believe I said that.
Yeah, that was the spoof of Digstown.
Yeah.
That was a great
with Damon Wayans.
It's a broham.
And so you guys tied up. That's why
I hate the tiebreakers.
That's why we have a tiebreaker.
What's the tiebreaker?
Piece of paper for you. Piece of paper for you. Is there a pen over there somewhere?
Yeah, there's one pen.
Okay, you guys can share it. We're going to do closest to the pin. So it doesn't matter if you go over, just whoever's closest. How much money did Moneyball make at the U.S. box office? There you go, Nick. How much money did Moneyball make at the U.S. box office? Closest to the pin will determine the wiener Nick turns us in. Drew turns us in. How much money did Moneyball make at the U.S. box office? Nick Sciarra said $278 million. Drew said $70 million. The correct answer is $75 million. Drewster Cogburn wins.
You son of a
bitch. Oh yeah!
With his 11th win of the season, good job, Drew.
Thank you.
I'm calling shenanigans on that.
Call shenanigans you want, man. I knew Moneyball didn't make a lot of money. I mean, it was a good movie.
It
but
was a great movie.
Doesn't mean it made any money.
Actually, at $70-something million, there's $75.6 million. It's one of the highest grossing baseball movies of all time. Baseball movies just don't make that much money. Which is why they don't make that many of them. If they made a lot of money.
But Brad Pitt was in it, and he was eating food.
That's why it made, yeah, like, he was eating food crazy. And that's why it made $75 million just at the U.S. box office. And another 50, 60, 70 international.
Oh, man. See, I didn't hear the U.S.
Oh, that's, well, I only said it about three or four times. So I did say it often.
Oh, well.
I have this problem where I don't listen.
Oh, that's not good. I used to have a trumpet on here. The wah wah. I don't know where it is. I'll give you one of these instead.
Dude, people hate you.
Actually a little aggro.
Why are you hating the world?
A little aggro. Sorry about that. Yeah, I didn't mean to. Because you represented them, dude. That's why. Because you represented them. All right, here we go. So Billy D's choice. Well, his review this week was on Sonic Highways. We appreciate that. Definitely plan on checking that one out. I got some questions first from people. I always ask, right? I fish for questions all the time. Mini movie reviews. If you want to review a movie, let us know. You can do it on Twitter at Crespodiso, on Facebook at CinemaCrespodiso, or email cinemacrespodiso@gmail.com. J-High at J-High87 brought back the Crespodome. It's been a while since we had a Crespodome battle.
It has.
J-High87 writes, let's do a Crespodome battle between Matt Damon and George Clooney. So, Nick, this is how it works. We got Matt Damon, George Clooney. Put him inside the Crespo Dome. First, we have to determine which one is the better actor, and then which one would win in a fight. So why don't you go ahead and get us started, Nick? Which one first is the better actor?
For better actor, Matt Damon or George?
These guys are kind of
I
similar.
I like George Clooney better.
As an actor, I would.
I'm trying to think. Of,
I like
I'm
his
just
range.
Trying to compare him in a couple different movies, and
I like his range. You know, Matt Damon does some stinkers more. I think Matt Damon's more prone to stinkers than George Clooney.
Definitely.
There's more. We bought a zoos in his filmography.
As opposed to Mr. Butterflies. Well,
George Clooney wins American. The acting.
You go George Clooney for acting? What about you?
I don't know, because some of the stinkers they've both been in together.
What stinkers have they been in together?
Ocean's 12.
What was that war movie they were just in?
Monuments Men.
Monuments Men. God, that was so awful.
Yeah, it wasn't that good. I wouldn't say it was awful.
And they were in it together.
It wasn't that good, though.
Being not good.
It should have been better.
Yes.
Should have been better.
Should have.
Well, for acting, I would go just because I think he's just got that charm going for him.
Clooney.
I would have to go Clooney. I believe that guy'd do almost anything. He was just an astronaut in Gravity. He was a cowboy astronaut. It was like super cool about everything, and I believed it. I was like, yeah, look, it's George Clooney in space. I believe he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, I would too.
Although I kind of believe the same thing with Matt Damon. Anyway.
You know, I'm going to break the mold. I'm going to see Matt Damon.
You're going to go Matt Damon? Yeah. I think it's close, but I'm going to go Clooney. Nick says Clooney. Drew goes Damon. Which one will win in a fight?
Damon all the way.
Damon's going to win because Clooney's too cool to fight.
Clooney's more of a pacifist. He does seem like he doesn't know how to throw a good punch.
No, looks like he fights like a girl.
Whereas Damon's been through all the boring training.
Exactly.
I'm sure he's retained some of that. He looks like he's still in pretty good shape.
Yeah, he does.
He also has, what, like 10, 15 years on Clooney?
Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Clooney's just too cool to fight.
Too cool to fight. That's true. He does.
Maybe he's
cool
just
to
too pussy to fight.
Or too smug to fight.
Stop hating on Clooney then.
Could be all those things.
Drew, why are you hating?
I love Clooney.
I love Clooney. I'm just saying.
Clooney's great. Clooney is great. All right, let's get into some movie news. A bunch of things popping this week in the world of movies. First off, the final cast has been announced for Quentin Tarantino's Hateful Eight, his straight-up Western. So here's his cast. It's Samuel Jackson is back for some more Tarantino-ness.
Sweet.
Well, motherfucker's got to be said in the movie.
Yep,
and
at least once.
The last few Tarantino movies, Samuel Jackson hasn't really been in them. He's only had like really small roles or voiceover work. You know, like in Inglourious Basterds, he read some voiceover stuff, introducing some characters.
I mean, he was pretty big in Django, especially at the end.
Okay, yeah. Django, yeah. The Steven character was very big in character. That's true. That's true. Well, he's going to be back for this one. Kurt Russell fucking awesome. Yeah. Back after Death Proof.
Hell yeah.
Tim Roth.
Back again.
Tim Roth plays like crazy Southern mayor or senator or something in that Selma movie.
Yeah.
It's like, man, that guy's good. Michael Madsen is back because, you know,
it's Madsen.
It's a Tarantino movie. Bruce Dern, who's just in Nebraska, got nominated for that. He was in Django. They had that one scene.
Yep.
Where he said some really nasty stuff about black people. Walton Goggins, who was also in Django. And Walton Goggins is really good. He's got a crazy face.
Yeah.
You know, so he's good casting for anything. And Jennifer Jason Leigh, who she's like going to be one of the main characters, sort of, where Kurt Russell... All right, well, the story is Kurt Russell plays a bounty hunter who is transporting his catch, the criminal, and it's Jennifer Jason Leigh, mm-hmm. right? Samuel Jackson's also a bounty hunter. And then there's a crazy storm, so they stop off at, like, what is the equivalent of an Old West truck stop? They stop there, and there's other people in there. That's all the other actors. And then the snow, the blizzard comes in, and it's crazy, and they all get snowed in, and then shit just goes bad.
Sounds great.
Yeah. I mean, it's called The Hateful Eight. So, not the loving, let's have a good time eight. Also in this movie, Channing Tatum, aforementioned Tatum, is going to be in it. And Demian Bashir, the Hispanic fellow who's been blowing up lately. This guy, you might recognize the picture of him, that guy. He's on an FX show, The Bridge.
Yeah.
You look familiar to you at all, Nick? Yeah. He's been popping up here and there. He was Fidel Castro in Che.
Yes.
And he's actually quite great in that, I gotta say. So, also, Tarantino says he's shooting this movie in 70mm.
IMAX?
Yeah. Well, not necessarily. He doesn't really say IMAX, but the IMAX film projectors will be able to handle the workload, the film load. So, there you go.
I'm a little disappointed. I thought he was going to put Christopher Waltz in that movie.
He's been in like his last couple, right? And Waltz has won awards for being in both of them. Yeah. But I guess he just didn't have maybe scheduling conflicts.
Waltz he was doing busy. The Zero Theorem.
He was doing Zero Theorem. Waltz is a busy guy. You know, he's in demand now thanks to Tarantino. He can't always get the actors that you want, which is a shame. He wanted Will Smith for Django.
That would have been fucking strange.
That would have been strange. That would have been good, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Django, because Will Smith's a good actor, but that was part scheduling conflict. Part Will Smith was like didn't really he felt like the role wasn't big enough in the screenplay.
Interesting.
He thought there was too much time was given to the Christoph Waltz character.
Wow.
Yeah. And then you know, hey, that's fine. Jamie Foxx will take that ball and he'll run the fuck with it.
Hell yeah.
So far.
He did good.
Because he was great. We got a movie coming out called Elvis and Nixon. This has been in the works for a little while.
What?
Do you remember this photo op when Elvis?
Yeah, he became unofficial agent of the DEA. Yeah.
Yes. He just rolled up. This is before the White House had a fence.
Yeah.
He rolled up on their front lawn.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, make me a drug agent. He's probably high out of his mind on pills. Yeah. He's like making a federal agent. Also had a gun on him. This was the 70s.
Yeah.
So they're making a movie about that day and about a private meeting between Nixon and Elvis to play.
A movie about that day.
To play Nixon about that day, about Sweet. That meeting. Which was private. It's only between those two guys. So it's like fanciful, made up. Imagine what could these guys have talked about. To play Richard Nixon. Richard Milhouse Nixon. The one and only Kevin Spacey.
Sweet.
And to play Elvis Presley. Fat pilled out Elvis Presley, too. Got a note. Time period. Michael Shannon.
Really?
Yes. Most seen recently as General Zod in Man of Steel. Crazy Michael Shannon.
Interesting.
He's also in Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah.
He's a crazy guy. Crazy actor.
Yeah.
And he's going to be Elvis.
Did you guys watch Boardwalk Empire?
No.
I saw the pilot that was directed by Martin Scorsese. And then the show just ended. Just ended, too.
Yeah.
Steve Buscemi got shot in the face or something like that. Mm-hmm. I saw pictures on the internet. Watch out for them spoilers. I might have just spoiled that Boardwalk Empire for people. I have no idea.
Oh, well. So be it.
So be it. I don't care about things that I don't care about. That's going to be interesting. Elvis, Nixon and Elvis, Michael Shannon. You recognize that guy's face? You see that? Yeah, that guy. You recognize that face? He's a weird dude.
Yeah, he was a weird dude in the...
In the show? Yeah. All his characters are strange and intense as fuck.
Oh, yeah.
And
then
he's going to play... Boardwalk Empire, he's creepy.
He has done one or two movies where he's played not the main character, but like a side character, and he's been more like a normal person, using more of his humor. That exists... But he has to tap into that to get to Elvis, because I mean, Elvis isn't that crazy. Elvis was all pilled out and loved peanut butter, fried peanut butter and banana sandwiches with honey.
He's playing Elvis?
He's playing Elvis. Doesn't look a damn thing like him.
Maybe fat pilled out Elvis.
How anyone makes an Elvis movie in a world where Bruce Campbell's still around and not cast him?
I don't understand.
I have no idea. Makes no sense.
After Bubba Hotep,
I mean. Is his quote too high? I mean, he's Bruce fucking Campbell. Man.
Is his quote too high?
Yeah. Just pay the man what he wants make him Elvis already.
He wasn't. Bubba Hotep.
Toy Story, guys. You guys a fan of Toy Story movies?
Yeah. They're awesome. The last one was kind of scary.
We're all around the same age, right? So when the first Toy Story came out, we were all like early, like 12-ish, 13, 14, around there.
Maybe.
Something-ish.
Maybe
not. Well, the shit keeps going, man, because that was like 20 years ago, at least.
Yeah.
Toy Story 4 has been announced. They're doing it.
Nice.
It's happening. At the end of Toy Story 3, they gave away all the toys, a whole new family. And now Toy Story 4, they're making another one. Is that with the new family?
Maybe.
No idea.
Obviously.
The people making it, it's like a dream team of people at Pixar. It's John Lasseter is writing and directing it again. He directed all the Toy Story movies. Andrew Stanton, Pete Docter, and Lee Unkrich. These guys are behind all the best Pixar movies. WALL-E, Up, Ratatouille, Toy Story.
Oh.
These are like the guys. They're the best. And they are the ones that they came up with the story idea for Toy Story 4 that they felt like this could work. We could do this.
Nice.
And John Lasseter is going to direct it. It'll be his first movie since Cars 2.
Everybody's coming back.
Everyone's coming back. I mean, how can they not come back? They got.
If I don't get T. Hanks's Woody, I'm going to be really angry.
Stick him in a booth, put a mic in their face, and they're back. They're not going to say no. It's a cushy job, right?
Sitting in front of a mic and paid. Come on, man.
You're going to get paid and get fat paid. We do it for nothing.
Yeah.
They do it for millions. And forever recognition, their voices at least, as...
You're not getting paid?
No, I'm getting paid in certain...
Let's talk to the boss.
I got paid ways.
I
want
to talk to your boss.
Talk to... That's why we need a Sharaba. That's why everyone needs a Sharaba. That's why you're the Zach Galifianakis character in Birdman. Because he makes things happen.
Make it happen, Nick.
You made triple advanced sales and anyway, Toy Story 4. That's great. Look at all this paper, Jerry. Look at all this paper. It's all fleets of...
It's going to be scary. I'm going to lose an eye, Chris.
Oh, you'll be fine. Just wear your glasses. Recently, I said on the show that a sign of the pending apocalypse was upon us, that it was a sign of the end of the world, that we were getting an Aaron Sorkin written, Danny Boyle directed movie about Steve Jobs, starring Christian Bale and Seth Rogen.
What?
That made no sense. I was like, this is happening. The world is ending. This is not, no. This is the end of times bullshit right here. Christian Bale has since dropped out.
Good.
Okay.
Christian Bale is not going to be Steve Jobs, which I think is a shame. He kind of looks a little like him already without any makeup, and then he's a good actor. So we got a possible replacement, a new Steve Jobs circling the wagons, the fire. I don't even know what I'm saying there. Michael Fassbender.
Okay.
Young Magneto.
Okay.
Might be Steve Jobs. To Seth Rogen's Steve Wozniak. Not sure if that's still happening now.
That's weird.
Dropout. Still gonna be a weird fucking movie.
Yeah, it sounds like a stupid movie.
I don't know about stupid. It's Aaron Sorkin's writing.
It's gonna be written. I mean, the dialogue's gonna be impeccable.
And it's not like a straight up. It's not like a straight up biopic where it's here's Steve Jobs' life from start to finish. You know, it's not like the one with Aaron Kutcher. This one is based on a book.
Aaron Kutcher,
same guy, right? It's based on a book where it's all about like the moments leading up to. Certain keynote speeches that Steve Jobs gave, like one about the one that he gave for the iPod when he introduced the iPod to the world, one where he introduced his new company Next, and then one where he introduced like the personal computer. And it's the movie is gonna be three sections, and it's the 30 minutes leading up to the presentation.
All
right, so it's him running around backstage and you know, talking fast, solving problems, talking about this is the future, shit like that. Did you see Spring Breakers, Nick? That's a fun
Spring Break Forever.
Did you ever see...
Look at my shit. This is my shit.
I got shorts, different colors for every day of the week.
T-shirts.
Did you ever see Gummo?
No.
That was a weird one.
That's a weird fucking movie. Same person directed those. Harmony Korine. Himself a former crackhead, white boy crack addict from New York City. Got himself all cleaned up, and now he's... back to making movies, and... He's making a movie with Benicio del Toro and Jamie Foxx called The Trap.
It looks crazy.
It looks, I mean, with the, it's a Harmony Korine movie with Benicio del Toro and Jamie Foxx. Let's see what it's about here. It's a crime thriller, of course, about two childhood friends now in their mid to late 30s. That's from the screenplay, so they got to be made older now because these guys are older. One of them is because...
What's up with the music, man?
Yeah, just stop for a second there. Let's see. It's,
what are you doing with the remix?
Okay, I think we're good. Don't worry about that. We're fine.
Oh, got it.
Don't worry about it, people. Don't worry about it, people.
Thank you.
Got a thing there, but it looks like we're good.
I feel like my heart is stopping.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you know, it's a bootleg software. It's a bitch. But this will be fun, you know. It's about two guys, older guys, childhood friends, not their crooks. They're going to be at each other's throats.
Sweet.
Fox, Benicio del Toro, Harmony Korine. Good times. Brian De Palma, director, actor, Al Pacino. Have combined so far for two movies, Scarface and Carlito's Way.
Mm-hmm.
Both good movies.
Yeah,
they're back.
Uh-oh.
They're making a third one together called Retribution. Retribution is responsible. I don't know. Brian De Palma is responsible for two of Al Pacino's many iconic roles, the leads in Scarface and Carlito's Way. Now, after a long break from one another, the two are reportedly shopping a new movie called Retribution. It's a remake of a 2003 Belgian film, The Memory of a Killer, which is about a hitman with Alzheimer's. It was on the trail of a child prostitution ring.
Ooh.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, sometimes these descriptions.
Yeah, they're... Hey, when you gotta boil it down, it's like child prostitution, Alzheimer's, let's just make this movie. Let's make it happen.
Let's do it.
Brian De Palma has not made a good movie in a while.
What's the last thing he made?
The last movie he made was one called... it was a remake of a French film with Rachel McAdams and... Ruby in the Paz, and it's called. I can't remember. It's on Netflix though. It's on Netflix instant, but I can't remember it either. And then before that, he did Redacted, which is a really bad found footage war movie. And then before that, he did The Black Dahlia, which was boring as fuck. And then before that, he did Femme Fatale, which is like bad.
So awful.
It's awful, like bad B movie quality, but it's so Brian De Palma and has so many things that are so like his style that it's one of those movies that like I still love it, you know. It would be called a guilty pleasure if I believed in guilty pleasures. But I just like the movie. It's not good, but I like it. You know, it happens. That happens sometimes. People like things that aren't good.
Yeah, they do all the time.
You know, that's why are Big Macs so popular? You know what I'm saying?
Delicious.
That's what I'm saying. Thank you, Nick. That's what I'm saying. Speaking of burgers,
it doesn't hurt when I eat it. Just after.
Johnny Rockets is getting into the movie exhibition business.
Really?
They are teaming up with another company to open up 200 drive-in theaters.
I always wanted to go to a drive-through.
Well, they're going to do one.
Drive-in.
They're doing one now where...
Yeah, you do have written on your notes, drive-through theater. That'd be kind of weird.
A drive-through theater? Well, okay. Because it's a combination. Part of it? It is a combination of ideas. Because it is a Johnny Rockets that's a drive-through. Like, so even when there's not a movie, the Johnny Rockets is still going to be open.
Oh,
and
look at
so
that.
That's part of what they're doing.
Drive-through, drive-up, drive-in?
Yeah, so you drive-through or you can walk up to the counter and bring it back to your car or whatever. What's there? Their stats are kind of crazy what they want to do. It's, yep. 500 to 700 cars per screen.
What?
Yeah.
Each
showing is expected to bring in 500 to 700 cars, totaling about 1,200 to 2,000 moviegoers.
That's ridiculous.
At the height of the drive-in's popularity in the late 1950s, there were about 4,000 theaters nationwide. That's a crazy amount of theaters. That's more theaters than there are now. Today, only about 300 remain. That's insane. But they're going to add now 200 Johnny Rockets branded drive-in theaters.
Weird.
Yeah. I think it's cool.
I mean, I think it's a great idea. I just don't know how it's going to play out.
Whoa.
700 cars.
Yeah. Those are huge lots. Must be a gigantic screen. See how that works here in Florida with the rain. Movies can be canceled all the time.
Oh, yeah.
NZL knows about that. They got those outside showings at the park and on the lawn. They get
canceled every day.
During the summer, forget about it. They schedule so many things, you would think they know. You would think.
Come on, those guys aren't making much money over there.
I think they would know. Not enough. Hey, did we?
You know what you didn't do?
You know what? I skipped a couple questions.
You did.
I realized after the Crespo Dome battle, I skipped a couple questions. We'll go back to them. At Terror and Love. Is this a question? Yeah, this is a question. At Sir Love writes on Twitter, are you still messed up by Gone Girl? Because I am.
A little bit.
Well, it's a crazy movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can close my eyes and picture a couple scenes.
Oh, yeah, totally. Pretty. I don't even have to close my eyes and I can see one of them.
Oh, Drew, he's looking at me as he does that, so that freaks me
it's
out.
Pretty creepy.
Yeah, that creeps me out because he's looking at me.
Creepy look that you just gave, Chris.
Uh-huh. But yeah, it is a mess. It's like a messed up movie, and I love... Hey, why you... yeah. Nick hasn't seen... You haven't seen it, right, Nick? So you don't know. You don't know, but it's intense. It is intense. I love that movie exists and it's out there and that it...
It's damaging people?
It's damaging people. It's affecting them that way. Also on Twitter, at Noriko455, all the way out there in Colorado, writes, is Culkin dead? I assume he's talking about Macaulay Culkin.
I don't know. Let's find out.
I don't think he is, but Drew's going to find out. He does look like he's been battling heroin for a long time. He is a skinny individual.
Since he was left home alone.
Oof. Oh, hey-o, take that. Home Alone was a great movie.
Oh, it's death. It was a hoax.
Oh, well, there are always Macaulay Culkin's dead hoaxes, always.
There's always dead hoaxes about everything.
Yeah, but for some reason, Macaulay Culkin ones pop up a lot, like Bill Cosby ones pop up, and there are a couple others that pop up a lot, but for some reason, Macaulay Culkin one is
Bill Cosby's a rapist.
He is a rapist.
Yes, he is.
And a therapist.
The therapist.
He's a serial rapist.
I'll take the rapist.
He's a serial therapist.
Tell Tony the Tiger to watch out.
That brings us to the end of the show, so like we do at the Barry show, it's time... For the lightning round, where's my drop here?
We give you the questions, you give us the answers. Time for the lightning round.
All right, lightning round time. There we go. So it's Drew. Get that clock ready because Nick, I have 10 questions here.
Oh, buddy,
I'm gonna shoot them at you. You spit out the answer, and we're gonna learn a little bit about you. You ready?
Go.
Number one, cake or pie?
Cake.
Number two, what is your favorite video game?
Ooh. That'd be Grand Theft Auto.
Number three, rock, paper, or scissors?
Rock.
Ooh, I said paper, so I win. Number
I'm
four.
I'm all about scissors, man.
The pursuit of building the perfect paper airplane, a noble endeavor or the most noble endeavor?
A noble endeavor.
Okay, fair enough. Number five. Are beans the musical fruit?
The more you eat, the more you do.
Number six, Pee Wee Herman got done wrong. Yay or nay?
No. He did himself.
Number seven, what sport did Michael Jordan play? Hint, it involved a basket and a ball.
Baseball.
All right. Number eight, Lost. Good or bad?
Never saw it.
Number nine, where's the key?
I don't know.
And number 10, kiss, marry, kill. I'm going to give you three options. You tell me which one you want to kiss, which one you want to marry, which one you want to kill. Here we go. You ready? The California Raisins, the Talking M&Ms, or the Fry Guys.
Fry Guys?
Yeah, don't you remember Fry Guys? The little bundles of fries from the 80s, the McDonald's Fry Guys? The Hamburglar, and there was Grimace.
I just killed the Fry Guys.
Fry Guys are dead.
I'm kissing the M&M.
Kissing the Talking M&Ms, M&M. So that means you're marrying the California Raisins.
Yeah, they brought in some good money.
There you go. That was your lightning round with Nick Sharawa. Thank you very much, sir. That brings us
to
the very end of the show. All our guests, do not leave her empty-handed. You got a swag bag.
What?
Here you go, Drew. Why don't you... Oh, you forgot to knock over your beer all over the equipment.
Yeah, I didn't do it this time. Last 2 weeks I have.
All right, here we go. Why don't you let the people know what Nick gets to bring home this weekend from the Crespo Diesel swag bag.
You are the proud owner of Dino World Miniature Dinosaurs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Hell yeah. That's great. Time to play with some mini dinos.
You're also the proud owner of a Jokes and Gags whoopee cushion.
Oh, this is going to get in good use.
That's something that can actually be used.
Oh, yeah. That's going under Kevin's seat.
I mean, Halloween might be past, but that doesn't mean you can't have your $1 worth of water-removable zombie blood.
Water-removable zombie blood.
Yes.
I'm wearing it tonight for Walking Dead.
There you go. Perfect.
And you can finish that off with a glow-in-the-dark skeleton necklace.
Oh, that thing's pimp.
There you go.
Hang
that from the ruckus.
Oh, and you are also the proud owner of the treasure hunt, Stomp the Yard.
Stomp the Yard. Great movie, Stomp the Yard.
Oh,
bunch
wow.
of people dancing.
That is a treasure find.
Yeah, it is.
It's all yours. It's all yours, Nick.
Stomp the Yard.
That's your swag baggery. I hope you enjoy it, sir.
Oh, no, thank you guys for having me.
Thank you for coming on, man. We appreciate it. That's our show, people. Drew, thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome, sir.
Give you one of these. Actually, no, I'll give you one of these.
Ah, yes, my Nazi followers.
It's been a while.
Yes.
It's been a while. We'll be back next week, episode 97. Getting closer to 100. Been around 100
closer
for a while.
Closer and closer.
Maybe I should like just start booking people for that.
We've got one person booked.
Curtis is booked. The return of Curtis? The Curtis Earth.
Oh, yeah.
Episode 100 of Cinema Crespini.
Now, see, he can represent the world.
Yes, he can.
He for sure can represent the world. I was hoping to do all this at the downtown studio.
We'll see how that works.
Being dismantled. So,
when will you be doing episode 100?
4 weeks. 4 weeks from now?
There's a good chance you can still record there.
We'll see.
We'll see about that.
All right, buddy. Well, that's the end of episode.
Hey, if anybody knows here.
If anyone knows, it's the beating heart of the whole thing.
We're going to have actually 3 working studios at one point.
There we go.
Sweet.
We'll have so many, all these shows happening at once, popping, 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 and yet nothing's happened.
Nope.
What's going on?
I don't know. You guys wait for January. You wait for January.
Hey, January's my birthday.
My birthday, too.
There you go.
Big things. Big things coming for
January 2015. Guys, check out Nick at Bart's. On Sundays.
You can find me at Bart on Sundays or some Saturdays.
What's up,
Saturdays?
You can
find me at Celery City out in Sanford on Mondays.
Head out there. Tip him well.
Always tip.
Please, tip him well.
And then you can find me on SBK Live. Never.
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 But you know he's there.
You can hear him in the background.
You can feel his presence.
You can feel his presence. You know, and he's making things happen. Every misspelling on that website, it's all Nick. Make sure you know about that.
Thank you, Chris.
That's
you
him.
You were one to point that out.
He is. We were all over that thing.
You missed one. Kevin's girlfriend had to point one out.
I know. I hate it when I miss them, too. It warms my heart. Each one warms me up on the inside like a shot of rum.
Nick fucked up again. I get to point it out.
Sweet.
No, just typos in general.
Good job, Nick.
So what are we doing for your first annual?
Second annual. Oh, the first annual.
There's no such thing as a first annual.
The first annual.
No, I want to do everything for Crespo Diesel is now going to be a first annual.
Good stuff. The first annual, even though it's the third time we do it. The first annual.
First
annual.
No!
It's the first third annual. It's the first time we're doing the third annual edition of the... Okay, we're out of here, guys. It's time. I'm going to leave for my Pilates class, and then we're going to...
Pilates?
My Pilates class. I'm going to go to the Pilates, and then I'm going to go to the Berardi's and get some...
Berardi's?
And get some brewskis. All right, we're out of here.